We turn in God's Word tonight to Matthew 14. Matthew 14, the text tonight will be verses 22 through 33. We're going to begin reading at verse 13 and read through verse 33. You'll notice at the beginning of verse 13, it says, when Jesus heard of it, what he heard of there is the death of John the Baptist, of his beheading. He had just received that news. And so now receiving that news, Jesus responds to that. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. Now begins the text. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to go into a ship, and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. In the 4th watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Thus far, we read God's Word. One of the striking points of this passage is that Jesus sent his disciples into that ship to go into the storm. It wasn't just that Jesus sent his disciples away so that he could have some time alone to pray. He sent his disciples into that ship knowing that they would be in a storm there on the Sea of Galilee. He wanted them on the sea and in the storm. That's part of the idea that you find here when we read in the text that he constrained his disciples to get into the ship. That's in contrast to what the disciples just experienced before this. Before this, they were sitting at Jesus' feet. They were receiving instruction from Jesus. And that was a good place for them to be. But Jesus is also telling us here it was a good place for them to be when they were there on that ship in the stormy seas on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus says the same thing to us. It's good for us at times to be sitting at His feet as we are here in our worship services, as we do in our family worship, and when we have time in the Word of God. But the Word of God also says to us, it's good for us to be on the stormy seas of life. We need to be in those storms at times as well. Because God not only teaches us when we sit at Jesus' feet and hear His Word, but He's also teaching us in the storms. He's teaching us about Himself. He's teaching us about Jesus Christ. He's teaching us what kind of a Savior we have. He's a Savior who does not simply give to us ease and luxury, but He's a Savior who delivers us in the storms of life. And in that way, we see the great power and deliverance that our Savior gives to us. But also, and this is especially the point of the text, it's on the seas and in the storms of life that our weak faith is strengthened. That's why we need to be in the storms, so that our weak faith is strengthened by Jesus Christ. How important that is tonight in the occasion of a confession of faith. Brandon has made his confession here before friends, before those who agree with his confession. He's made his confession before a room full of elders. And although that may be a little intimidating to sit there and confess faith before them, yet we all know that he did that before friends. The hard thing to do is to make that confession and live that confession before a world that opposes him and that opposes us as well. But at times, that's exactly where Jesus wants us to be and calls us to be there as well, so that our weak faith is strengthened. Jesus, throughout life, is teaching us to trust in Him. And in this life, we're never finished learning to trust in Him. In this life, our faith is never complete. It's never focused only on Jesus Christ. But the way in which our faith is strengthened is through the storms of life. That's what the text teaches us tonight. Trusting Jesus in the storms of life. That's our theme tonight. Trusting Jesus in the storms of life. We notice first the distressing storms. Secondly, the strength in faith. And finally, the important lessons. Jesus sent His disciples onto the sea, and they were rowing across the Sea of Galilee while Jesus had time apart in a mountain to pray. When the disciples were partway across the Sea of Galilee, they found themselves in the midst of a storm like they had never seen before. It was a distressing storm for these disciples. We understand that from the perspective that some of these disciples were familiar with the Sea of Galilee and the storms that arose on the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee was known for its storms, and that's in part because of the geography of the Sea of Galilee. We know that the Sea of Galilee is about 13 miles long and 7 miles wide. We know as well that there are steep cliffs around the lake, around the Sea of Galilee. So it's not a very big lake. Maybe kids, when you think of the Sea of Galilee, you think of some huge body of water. It was much smaller than Lake Michigan. But it had cliffs all around it and mountains around it as well. And the lake itself, the Sea of Galilee itself, was about 600 feet below sea level. That means that that lake during the day with a hot sun being down would become very warm. But then there were times when the cool breezes from the mountains would blow down and hit that warm water, and that would produce storms, powerful storms on the Sea of Galilee. Some of these disciples were familiar with those storms as they were fishermen who often fished on the Sea of Galilee in the past. But now this storm that they were caught in was a storm like they had never seen before. They saw that it wasn't a normal storm like they had seen before. The text says that the winds were contrary. That word contrary has the idea of adversary. The winds were like an adversary that kept pushing them back. They could make absolutely no progress on the Sea of Galilee, getting across the sea. They were rowing for all that they were worth. They were rowing to the point of exhaustion, and they were making absolutely no progress and no headway. They had toiled for 6 hours on this voyage, on a journey that should have only taken them a couple of hours. That shows the greatness of the storm that they faced. But as we look at that storm that they faced, we see a picture here. The ship on troubled sea is a picture of the church in the midst of this world. The sea in which they were is a figure or a picture of the world of sin in which we live. We know that from passages in the Scripture that speak of the sea in those terms. Revelation 13 is one of them, where it speaks of the Antichrist arising out of the sea. You find that also in the book of Isaiah. Well, what you have here then is in the ship, you have the representatives of God's church. The disciples are there. And they're in the midst of this storm. It pictures our place in this world, the church in the midst of this world. And the great adversary we face is this world itself, this world of sin that scorns the church, that hates the church, that wants nothing to do with the church. There's the adversary, Satan himself, who uses the world to try to keep the church from advancing. Wants to destroy the church. He wants to keep the church from growing and being built. And so, just like that wind was an adversary to the disciples and rowing across the sea, so the world is an adversary against the church in the midst of this world. There's the world that includes all of its false ideas and false philosophies, the individualism, the materialism of this age, the age as well that's characterized today by postmodernism, which says there is no one absolute truth, but every person is on a quest for truth, and every person in the midst of this world can come to understand truth in this world for themselves. This is the world of immorality and sin. How wicked is the world around us, so vile and so wicked, yet when we're here we understand that, but we're in the middle of it. At times we're so attracted to it because of our sinful natures. That's all part of the distress of which we learn of in the text as we live in this world. But there's more than that. There are the waves and the billows of our own sin. We mustn't forget that. Our sin. Satan uses our own sins against us to accuse us, to make us think that we couldn't possibly be loved by God or saved by God. In addition to that, there are the trials and the disappointments of this life, the sicknesses and diseases, the cancers, the diseases that some have that there is no cure for and that they will have for the rest of their lives here on this earth, and that alter and change their lives. And then the news, when that comes, there's death. The sorrow of death. Loved ones who are close to us, who are taken by God. The hurts and the pains that we experience in this life, especially as people hurt us. Sometimes those closest to us. We speak unkind things, hurtful words that hurt us in our own souls. Some of the worst hurt that we can experience in this life. But it's not just all of these big things. There are other things too. Sometimes we go through seasons of depression, being downcast. At those moments, that's an awful suffering that can afflict young people and old people alike. Awful depression at times in our lives. But it can be this too. The storms of when, for example, things don't go well at school. Other kids are unkind. We didn't do well on the test. We have the assignments that are building up. And the stress and the pressure is building too. Those are part of the storms of our lives too, where we're called to trust in Jesus, but we don't always do that in those times. It can happen in your work. The responsibilities are building. The pressure is building to get certain things done, to get work done, to provide for our families, financial stresses and pressures. Now, I said earlier, they can be small. We have to be careful with that. We all have to be careful because at the times, those things are huge in our lives. These are the stresses and hardships that we face in our lives. And what we learn from the text is that that's what we can expect in life. In John 16, verse 33, Jesus says, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." This is to be expected. This is to be expected for all of God's people. We cannot and must not expect calm waters and smooth sailing, but instead there are going to be these fierce storms that we face in our lives. You young people who are here tonight, you can expect that in your lives too. Not life that's easy. But life is filled with difficulties and hardships. Life will not go smoothly. There will be disappointments. There will be struggles. So many times things won't go as you thought they would or as you want them to go as well. But we have to remember, when we're in the midst of those storms, that God is in control. That's an emphasis here in the passage. You see the sovereignty of God from two perspectives. First of all, we understand and know that this storm was sent by God Himself. Nothing happens by chance. And this storm didn't happen by chance either. It wasn't that Jesus sent His disciples out in the boat and it just happened that there was a storm on the Sea of Galilee. No. God sent this storm. But we see the sovereignty of God from this perspective too. What we saw at the very beginning of the sermon. Jesus sent His disciples not only out on the lake, but into the storm. And He knew that they were going to face that storm. And that's exactly where He wanted His disciples to be, to teach them the truth about Himself. You see, that's what Jesus teaches in the storms of life. He teaches the truth about Himself. The disciples at that time needed to see that. They needed to see that because of what had happened earlier on that very same day. That great miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000 plus women and children with five small loaves of bread and two fish. A great and amazing miracle Jesus performed there. The fullest account of that is found in John 6. But the disciples needed to be out in the sea after that because what happened after Jesus fed the 5,000 plus women and children is that the men there wanted to make Jesus their king. They were ready to pledge their allegiance to Jesus if He would be their earthly king, who would deliver them from Rome and provide constant food for their bellies. That's what they wanted from Jesus. Bread. The disciples, no doubt, in some part, were carried away with that too. We know that in their own time with Jesus, they struggled with the concept of what kind of a king Jesus was. Even till the time of His ascension, they were wondering about the establishment of an earthly kingdom with Jesus as the king and as the head. So Jesus had to teach them that believing in Him does not mean having prestige and honor and riches and all kinds of food. But instead, that following Jesus means going through suffering and hardship and trusting Him in the storms of life. That's why storms for us. That's why the storms of sickness. That's why the storms of opposition. The storms of hurt. The storms of disappointments. The storms of things not going as we had planned them to go. Jesus sends us into those storms. God is sovereign over those storms to teach us about our Savior, Jesus Christ. so that we're reminded that following Jesus does not mean smooth sailing and easy going, but there will be suffering so that we learn to trust in Him. We see that we need a Savior who doesn't simply give us health and the things of this earth that we need and even that we want. But we need a Savior who gives us higher blessings. The blessings of salvation. The blessing of the forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. We have a Savior who gives us the highest blessings. We often don't see that like we should until we're in the midst of the storms. But also, Jesus sends us into the storms, and God sends those storms in our lives so that our weak faith is strengthened. We see that in the text, that the disciples had faith, but that faith was weak. And we see the need that they had for the strengthening of their faith. And you and I have that need as well, the strengthening of our faith. It's evident from the lives of the disciples, though, that they were men of faith. They did possess faith. What is faith? Well, the faith we're talking about here is the activity of casting our cares and worries and burdens on Jesus. The object of our faith is Jesus Christ Himself, the Son of God, who's come in our flesh. That's the truth of which Brandon confessed tonight. The truth that he confessed before the elders, the truth that he believes, and the truth that we all believe as well. Who Jesus Christ is. And that's the object of our faith. That's the focus of our faith. Who Jesus is and what He has done. The disciples knew Jesus as the Son of God, the one who had power. They trusted that He was their Savior, even though they didn't understand all the details of how that salvation would be accomplished yet at that time. This faith is the gift of God. It's produced in us because we're united to Jesus Christ. We have that union with Christ. That's part of faith. And because we're united to Christ, that faith becomes active in our lives, trusting in Christ, casting our cares and burdens and distresses and worries upon Him. I said it's evident that the disciples had this faith. It's evident from their following Jesus. They trusted in Him and what He promised and what He said. But it's especially evident in Peter, as he represents the other disciples. As part of the amazing history here, when Peter asked Jesus that Jesus would bid that He would come out to him on the water, and Peter trusts that in the power of Jesus Christ, he would be able to walk out on that sea, even in the midst of that storm. His eyes were on Jesus. He was trusting that Jesus could and would give him the ability to walk on the Sea of Galilee. He trusted in Jesus. And he represented the disciples there in that. But we also see that the faith of the disciples was weak. And in seeing the weak faith of the disciples, we have to see the weakness of our faith, and we will see that weakness of faith as well. What does it mean to have weak faith? Well, it means that not that we don't have faith, but there are certain times in our lives when we're failing to see Jesus like we should. You see, the problem was not that Jesus wasn't present there. He was there. When Jesus was up in that mountain praying, not only was He praying that the will of God would be done in His own life, not only was He praying because He needed to be strengthened by the Spirit for the work that God had given Him to do, but He was praying for His disciples. We read in the account that's found in Mark that Jesus even had His eyes on His disciples. He saw His disciples as they were out there in the midst of the storm. The problem was not that Jesus wasn't with them or watching over them or concerned with them or taking care of them. He was. He was there. He was caring for them. He was praying for them. The problem was the disciples took their eyes off Jesus. They forgot the miracle that took place earlier that day. They forgot how Jesus provided. How He had provided bread for them out of 5 loaves and 2 fish. They forgot that wonder and that miracle. They weren't thinking about that. All they saw at the time and at the moment was the storm. That characterizes our faith when it is weak. We're not seeing Jesus. We're not focused on Him. Instead, all we see is the storm. It's like we have blinders on and we can see nothing else but what we're facing right at that moment. We don't have our eyes stayed or fixed on Him. This weak faith was a failure to see the present circumstances in the light of the deliverance that Jesus had given in the past. They were failing to see what they were going through in the light of what Jesus had just done on that very day. And that weak faith then was characterized by an irrational fear. An irrational fear. Not the fear of the storm. No, we can understand that fear. But it was the fear that when they saw someone walking out in the water, the disciples' rash judgment was, it's a ghost, it's a spirit. Instead of thinking first, it's Jesus. And that's what weakness of faith does. It leads to irrational fears. Fears of things that haven't even happened. Fears of things that might happen, but probably won't. That can characterize our weak faith too, doesn't it? But in addition to that, the result of such weak faith is despair, doubt, and self-pity. Because when we take our eyes off of Jesus, where do our eyes go? It's not just even to the storm. It's not the hardship we're facing. It's me. And that I have to go through this. And how am I going through this? And God's taken out of the picture. And we're focused on ourselves. That's why weak faith sinks down into self-pity. We think it's hopeless. I can't be rescued out of this. There's despondence. And there seems to be no hope. Have you experienced this in your life? We know this weakness of faith. Where we're not keeping our eyes on Jesus. We have these irrational fears. We sink down into doubt and despair and self-pity. But the good news of the passage is that in that weakness of faith, Jesus was using this very storm to strengthen their weak faith. When our faith is weak and faltering, Jesus comes to us in His Word as He did to His disciples here in the text. Notice the Word of Jesus to His disciples as they're filled with fear. First of all, verse 27. But straightway Jesus spake to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. He had the soothing words of Jesus to His disciples. Don't be afraid, it's I, it's Jesus, I'm with you. Not only that, but then you have the words of Jesus to Peter. Remember when he stepped out of the boat and he was walking on the water, but then he took his eyes off of Jesus, he began to sink. And he cries out for Jesus' help, but now Jesus speaks to him too. And says to him in verse 31, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Why did you doubt? Those are the words of Jesus that come to us tonight. Why do you doubt? Are you doubting? Why are you doing that? Jesus is saying, don't be afraid. I'm here. I'm with you in the midst of that storm. And the Word of God teaches us then, in the midst of these storms, to keep our eyes on Jesus. When we're going through sickness, when we're going through suffering, when we're going through the disappointments of this life, but also when the stresses and the pressures are building and we're thinking only of ourselves and all that we have to do, the Word of God to us, the Word of Jesus to us is, remember, don't be afraid. I'm here. I'm with you. Keep your eyes on me. That's the Word of Jesus here tonight. We, of course, hear that Word of God in the worship services. There are the times when we need to be at the feet of Jesus, hearing His Word, so that we're ready for the storms of life. But also in the midst of those storms, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to us, not in some mystical and mysterious way, but instead He's taking that Word we know, that Word we've studied, that Word we've heard, and the Holy Spirit is working in us so that we know that Word and believe that Word and live out of that Word. That's the importance of our worship. That's the importance of the preaching of the Gospel. We're hearing the Word of Jesus that prepares us for the storms of life that we will face. And then we have to remember, and we're called to remember, in the midst of those storms, keep your eyes on Jesus. Remember that never for one moment are we out of His sight. We have a Savior who prays for us and cares for us in all things. What about us? What hardships, what sufferings are you going through? What hardships and sufferings have you gone through? Where does it seem that life is out of control? And the Word of God says, remember, as you're in the middle of it, as you're in the middle of that depression, as you're in the middle of being downcast, as you're in the middle of the struggles, as you're in the middle of those hardships, as you're in the middle of all of that hurt and that pain of the things that have happened to you, don't focus on yourself. See Jesus. Look to Him in all of those things. Cast your cares and your burdens and your worries on Him. Know that He is there and He has a purpose for the storm in which you find yourself. Now that means not just some abstract thing about thinking about Jesus. What are we to see? What are we to look on? We are to look on, and I'm to look on, the things that Jesus Christ has done. Look at the wonders that Jesus performed just in this history that we read tonight in Matthew 14. He used 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish to feed a multitude of thousands. Not only that, He walked on water. None of us, with our own eyes, has seen anybody walk on water. Jesus walked on water. Then, in addition to that, He made Peter walk on water. I put myself in the place of Peter sometimes and wonder, would I even dare to ask Jesus at that moment if He could make me walk on water? Would I believe that He would do it? Peter did. He trusted in Jesus. And Peter was able to walk on water. And then when Peter was sinking, Jesus rescued him, took him out of that water into which he was sinking, and brought him again to the boat. Well, those aren't the only wonders we focus on. We have to focus on one that is greater than all of those. It's the wonder of the death of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. When He died on the cross of Calvary, a wonder took place. The wonder is this: He took the punishment for our sins. He bore that. And in what we receive in its place for the guilt and punishment we deserve is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So knowing the wonder of the cross of Jesus Christ, let us trust in Him alone in all the burdens and the cares and the struggles of this life. That means dealing with the storms of life in a way that's different from the world. The world says, go ahead and get angry, and just vent that anger. The world says, find some kind of escape. Find some kind of escape, something that's going to relieve that stress for a time so that you can just forget it for a while. Go on vacation for a while. Go shopping for a while. Have a good hard drink. Take something. Take some medication. Take some kind of drug so that it will calm you down. Those are the things you need. That's what's going to help you deal with the stresses of life. Take these things out in others. Get a punching bag and start punching that punching bag and let it out that way. That's what the world says about how to deal with these things. But Jesus says something different here. He doesn't say do those things. He says keep your eyes on me. That's through these very storms that Jesus is teaching us that. He's refining our faith. That's what we see especially in Peter here. You and I can relate to Peter and what happened to Peter. We have faith. Peter had faith. Faith that was strong so that he believed that he could walk on water if Jesus gave him the ability to do so. And so he asked Jesus to bid him to come out to him. But Peter went from walking on the water to sinking. Why? I think even you kids know the answer. He took his eyes off Jesus. What did he look at instead? He looked at the storms. He looked at the wind and the waves that the wind was pushing and began to wonder, what's going to happen? Can I stay on top of the water in the middle of this storm? It wasn't just walking on calm seas. It was in the middle of that storm at night as well. But he turns his eyes off of Jesus and he looks to the storms and he begins sinking. But then what happens? His eyes go back to Jesus. And he cries out, deliver me! Save me! And that's what Jesus does. He grabs him by the hand and delivers him from the raging sea. You see what was happening there in that moment is what happens often in our lives. We're living in faith. We're trusting in Jesus. We're leaving the worship services on Sunday strengthened in our faith by the Word of God. But then Monday and Tuesday, and then by Friday, more and more things are building in our lives. There are other things that are going on. The pressures and stresses of life are happening. We're in the middle of this storm of things that are going on. And we begin losing sight of Jesus. And we start sinking. Sinking into sin. Sinking into self-pity. Sinking into doubt and hopelessness. Sinking maybe into anger. But then, we're reminded in those times to turn to Jesus. And we cry out for deliverance and for help. And Jesus delivers us. That's often the way things go in our lives. But through that very thing and through those very storms, our faith is being strengthened. Beloved, that's the point we have to see. That through the storms, the Lord Jesus Christ is strengthening our faith so that less and less we turn to ourselves and focus on the storms and more we see Him in truth and keep our eyes stayed on Him. So in this text, there are important lessons that we learn. The first lesson is this. When our faith is weak and our minds are not stayed on Him, the result is sinking. That was true for Peter. His eyes on Jesus, when he took his eyes off and focused on the storm, he began to sink. Well, what is that sinking for us? That sinking for us is living in the way of sin that is the result of not trusting in Jesus like we should. What that often results in and how that looks in our lives is that we're learning to deal with the pressures of life by turning to the things of this world. The common one, and I know the struggle for me, is when the pressures are building, to get angry. And then when we get angry, what we do is we take that out on those who are closest to us. We become edgy. Wife knows it. Husband knows it. The kids know it. And they're thinking, stay out of his way, stay out of her way. But you see, that's the result of not dealing in a right way with the storms of life that we're facing. Those maybe smaller storms that we'd say aren't like when someone has cancer or someone just dies or going through others some great tragedy in our lives. But that's what happens. But that can happen in the great tragedies of life too. When there's grief and sorrow and loss, there are steps of grief that we go through, and one of them can be anger. We get angry, angry at others and angry at God Himself. That's a wrong response to the difficulties and hardships of life. And we can sink down into those things. Or we turn to the escapes that are found in this world and they become addictive to us. That's what we always turn to. Having a drink when we're feeling down. Turning to drugs. Turning to porn. Turning to food. Turning to all kinds of other things. Turning to people. And getting people to feel sorry for us. And to give us a pity party. That's what we're doing instead of looking to Jesus and seeing that He has a purpose for this suffering that we are going through. You see, true faith always produces good works. And when we're not seeing Jesus like we should in our lives, it's going to be producing sin. That's the first lesson we learn. Secondly, we learn from this text that Jesus is our all-sufficient Savior. Our salvation is not dependent on anything that we do. We know that. We've been taught that. That's the very truth that Brandon has confessed tonight before us. God sovereignly and graciously saves. The salvation of Peter, when he was sinking, was not dependent on his faith. Wasn't dependent upon something that he was doing. That's not what the text is teaching. But instead, what the text is teaching is that Jesus Christ is the Savior, the all-sufficient Savior that we need. He's the one we need for salvation from our sins. When we see the greatness of our sins, we're struggling with those sins. Young people too, children, you need to know this and hear this. When you see your sin, and your parents help you to see your sin, or your teachers help you to see your sin, the only hope that we have is the cross of Jesus Christ. He has paid for that sin. But also, He's a Savior that is there loving us and helping us and leading us through all the difficulties and sorrows of this life. He's an all-sufficient Savior. The disciples needed to learn that. He wasn't a Savior that was just going to give them bread. No, He was a Savior from their sins who delivered them. And He's the Savior who works in our hearts by His Spirit. He's a Savior who gives us everything that we need. The third thing is this. The third lesson we learn is this. The end of all of this is the other shore. Jesus took His disciples safely across the sea to the other shore. There's another shore for us too. The other shore for us is heavenly life. The storms of life will not keep us from reaching the other shore. Here's the big picture. But instead, Jesus Christ is using the storms to bring us to the other shore in safety. And there on the other shore, what did the disciples do? They worshiped Him. They worshiped Jesus. And you see, that's the end of it all. Not just being in heaven so that we don't have any more of these hardships and difficulties, but being in heaven so that we worship Jesus forevermore as the one who has saved us from our sins. And that is what we will do. That's the end of all the storms in life as Jesus leads us through. It's to the other shore, well, where we will worship Him forever. We taste that now. We have a part of that now. We come together to worship Jesus as He's caring for us in this life and delivering us in storms and teaching us to trust in Him. But in the end, we know that there's life when we will worship Him perfectly and without sin forevermore. And so the storms have a very good purpose in our lives. It's through the storms we're brought to that shore to worship Jesus forevermore. That's the big picture that we have to see. And that's the point of the passage that I read when we spoke to Brandon earlier as well, out of 2 Timothy 4. That in fighting the good fight of faith and finishing the course and keeping the faith, we have the assurance of this: there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing. That's for us too. That wondrous, beautiful crown of righteousness forevermore. So let us learn in the storms that we face in life to trust in Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for this word. This word that we need because we find ourselves in the storms of life, and those storms can be so fierce, and so often our faith is weak. We pray that Thou wilt use this word to strengthen our faith as we have sat at the feet of Jesus. But now as we go through the storms in our lives in this new week and in the coming weeks, we pray also, Father, that we may learn to trust in our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray that this may be a word as well that strengthens the young people who are here, knowing that they will face those storms. For in those storms, may they keep their eyes fixed on their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Bless us in our fellowship tonight. Dismiss us with Thy blessing. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen.